Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports pylon studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I've been doing this 41 years this month. That's right. Knocking out all bums for 41 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, was ranked nationally, and I'm an award-winning boxing journalist. So I bring a unique combination of the answers. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. You are. So if you want to have an opinion, you want to drop your line, you can right now. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's toll-free all around the United States. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, for Sunday, September 20th, 2025. Well, we are 1 week removed from the laydown of Canelo Alvarez. He laid down like a dog. He just did. He was out of school from the get-go. And for those judges that gave him five rounds, those guys should be arrested. I mean, they tried to rob Terrence Crawford. They tried to rob him. The best night in boxing in a long, long time, and they tried to rob him. I mean, think that one other round, two judges had 7-5 in rounds. Had they went one round the other way for Canelo, it would have been a draw. It would have been a majority draw. Come on. Dude, Canelo, he didn't win but a couple of rounds, maybe. There were no rounds where he was dominant. There were no rounds where you said, you know what? Yo, guy's taking over. He's taking over. He's coming back. Canelo's on a roll. He was never on a roll. He got bitch slapped for the most part for 12 rounds, 36 minutes. Like I said on the show, before the fight went down, if I was Terrence Crawford, having been left-handed, if I was Terrence Crawford and I was left-handed and had the skills that he had, I wouldn't lose a minute of a round to Canelo Alvarez. And if you look at the fight, the only time that Crawford ever lost any rounds or came close to losing any rounds was when he sort of took stuff off. He sort of laid back and relaxed because he was in control all 36 minutes. No question about that. Once again, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. We'll hear about Terrence Crawford. We'll hear from Terrence Crawford about how he rates Canelo's power. Yeah, right. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and live on Twitch.tv. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and you know it.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647. You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet, protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we are 7 days removed from the epic fight. Yes, it was an epic fight because it was, you know, it was a classic example of one fighter being superior to the other. That's the best way I could put it. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, I mentioned in the open, I didn't think he tried too hard. I think he was discouraged. I think that the fact that he's never had to fight anybody in a long time that's really put up much of a fight. I mean, Dmitry Bivol sort of slapped him up a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't like the other night. I mean, the other night, he was lit up like the White House Christmas tree from the start. I mean, the only time that Terrence Crawford lost any minutes of any rounds is when he sort of took things off and sort of wanted to coast a little bit, wanted to get his act back together. Of course, he was worrying about, you know, fighting a bigger guy and going 36 minutes, because that's always a question mark, because when you fight bigger guys and you're a smaller guy, early on, everything's good. It's what happens later on when the natural size and things like that start to take over, if they take over. And then it never took over the other night, because I told you before that Terrence Crawford turned professional at 135 pounds. Canelo Alvarez turned professional at 146 pounds. There's only 10 pounds difference. I don't think that was that much of a body mass. And the other night, you know, Canelo just looked like a guy that had three left feet, not two left feet. He's got three left feet. I mean, he took terrible against William Skull. He beat up on a cab driver and gave him a $150,000 car afterwards. Talk about Jaime Munguia, of course, 43-0 cab drivers. A cab driver that fought nothing but cab drivers from Tijuana. I mean, going on, Edgar Berlanga lay down like a dog. I mean, the big, mean Puerto Rican didn't put up much of a fight. Of course, he sort of, after the third or fourth round, he sort of like gave up. He didn't fight too hard either. Of course, Gennady Golovkin was like 95 years old. Outside of the Dmitry Bivol fight, what has Canelo done for you lately? Absolutely nothing. And now, hopefully, he's done. Stick a fork in him. I never want to see him again. I think he's a disgrace to boxing. The fact that that David Benavidez was the number one contender for 3.5 years and was ignored both by the WBC and Canelo Alvarez, that in itself is a crime, and it's a crime that should never be forgotten. Straight up, the biggest duck in boxing history, according to Paulie Malignaggi, and in my mind, the same thing. Straight up, you are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. And I have to profess something. I've never been to Egypt, but I must admit, I was in denial last week. Well, in denial that Canelo Alvarez's skills were that diminished.
Not diminished. You know, when's the last time he's really displayed good skills? When's the last time he's really looked superior? When's the last time he was maybe Caleb Plant?
Yeah, I think that's the last time. Jermell Charlo certainly didn't try. And he looked good, you know, against a guy that came to pick up a check, right? He got dropped once and put it on autopilot, and they both kind of made a, you know, like a silent agreement. You know, hey, let's go back to the locker room, you know, one piece. Like you said earlier in the opening, you know, he didn't show that extra gear, that intangible of heart. You know, there was no sense of desperation, you know, in his corner. You know, by the eighth, ninth round, you know, there has to be something that kicks in and says, hey, bro, we need a knockout to win. And I didn't see that. He was really gun-shy. And credit to Terence Crawford. You know, he had enough punching power to make Canelo double, you know, give him second thoughts. You know, he wasn't reckless. I put it this way. Canelo Alvarez, at one point, in the 11th round, had landed or thrown 7 jabs. How do you win a fight at that level, throwing 7 jabs? Well, especially against a world-class fighter.
Okay, like let's talk about the judges here. Chim Cheatham, if you ever lived up to his name, it might have been with this score, 115-113. That was for Mr. Crawford. Max DeGluca came up with a score, 115-113, that's 7-5 rounds. Steve Weisfeld had it 116-112. You said you had it about 116-112. Other people I know had it 9-3 and 10-2, and they were telling me, what rounds did Canelo dominate? What rounds did Canelo dominate? Tell me a round where Canelo did something where he was turning the fight around. There was never a point in that fight where you said to yourself, here we go, here he comes, he's coming back, this is the champion, Canelo Alvarez. You never saw that, not once.
No. I think he stole a little bit of my thunder when you could clearly see when Terence Crawford was putting things, okay, I'm going to put things in autopilot. I want to finish the fight strong. And he kind of took the round off, and Canelo took advantage. He just, like, he won out of default. You know, he did a little bit more than Crawford. And it's not that, and it's funny, you watch the fight again, not that Canelo fought bad, because I thought his feet looked better than they have before. It's just that it was a different level. It was a different level, and there was no plan B. He was throwing the same wide left hook to the body, and Terence Crawford saw it coming last week.
Wait. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder can see that hook coming now. He doesn't set it up.
No. Like I said, he threw 7 jabs. How do you do that?
Here's what's up. I think if there has ever been a con job, it was Terence Crawford conning the entire boxing world, including Canelo Alvarez, by not performing at his best against Israel Madrimov. I think that he performed under par there. He did it on purpose in order to get the fight, to make Canelo say, okay, we can beat this guy. And he was willing to give up any weight advantages. I mean, no weight limits after the weigh-in, nothing like that. I mean, he gave Canelo everything he wanted, and I think it was a perfect setup. Him and Bo Mack, give them credit, man. They set Canelo up, and they, you know, like a bowling pin, they knocked him over.
Yes, and the other factor that I was giving Canelo the edge on was the fact that Terence had not fought in over a year. But on the contrary, in that year, he grew into this weight. It's not like he, you know, stuffed his face to make 68 and he was full of, you know, bologna sandwiches and hot dogs. He grew into this weight. You saw there was no belly on him when he came into the ring. He was ready. And that's something that would play a huge part. He was able to absorb the little punishment that Canelo was landing on the arms, you know, which is a big attribute of Canelo. He likes to hit the arms kind of like Marciano used to, and it didn't faze him at all.
You know, when Michael Spinks fought Larry Holmes for the title the first time around, he was an underdog. He came in, of course, a former light heavyweight champion, 175 pounds, came in like at 201 pounds, and somehow Spinks was able to outpoint Larry Holmes that day. But he was really the first guy that put on a lot of weight, made 25 pounds, and was able to perform. This young man put up some weight and performed, but I'm going to go back to it. I think the Madrimov fight, I think he fought not up to par because of the fact that he wanted this fight so bad. He knew down deep in his heart. Listen, there were certain guys that were professional around here. The one guy in particular, he was ranked really high by the IBF. I kicked the spit out of him in the gym. It wasn't even close. You know what they used to say to me? Don't pull that sea-sucking southpaw stuff. That's what they used to tell me. That's what his trainer, Vic Cooper, you better not go southpaw, kid. I mean, are you out of your mind? You can tell me how to spar in the gym when you're out of your mind. They couldn't. Some people just can't handle it. But he was ranked. And the fact that when you get certain guys, whether they're bigger than you or not, and you got better skills than them, you're going to prevail. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. But this was the exception to the rule because in all actuality, they were equal in size. If not, Crawford didn't have the advantage of muscle.
And the reach was significant. I mean, it was a 75 to 72.
Hand speed.
And Terrence used that, the hand speed. Canelo doesn't have slow hands. He's got slow feet, but he was gunshot. He couldn't pull the trigger. And the credit to Crawford, because there was firepower coming back at him. And that one clip, that picture that's going to be engraved in boxing history, was when Canelo tried to that combination of knocking down Terrence's lead guard hand and to try to come over the top. Terrence Crawford saw that coming, dipped and clocked him with a left hand. That was brilliant. That was brilliant. And it was a career-defining moment for both guys. You know, Terrence Crawford deserves all the props in the world. And I was left after that fight, two things. Is Canelo overrated? And are his losses bigger than his wins?
Good point. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help spring through. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how the program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
What was his power like? Have you been hit by anybody that strong before?
I've been hit harder.
No, in a real fight, not a sparring.
In a real fight. Mean Machine hit harder than Canelo, to me, be honest.
Terrence. Congratulations.
Well, Mean Machine hits harder than Canelo Alvarez. Well, Canelo didn't hit Terrence Crawford all that hard yet. And, of course, 36 minutes of boxing, mostly dominated by the young man, 37 years old now, from Omaha, Nebraska. Remember, one guy's 37, the other guy's 35. That's 72 combined years. When you think about the Ray Leonard-Thomas Hearns fight, of course, that was in September of 1981, they were 25 and 23. So big age disparity, of course. If this is the best boxing has, boxing needs some youngsters. Who in the boxing landscape, who on the boxing landscape, Socrates Palmer, can what American star is there besides Terrence Crawford? Talk to me. What really? Who's really an American boxing star right now?
You know what? That is a big gap to fill. I mean, when Canelo lost, you know, you can see the changing of the guard. But Terrence Crawford is, like you said, you know, 37. I would probably say Emiliano Vargas has what it takes in terms of being a box office star and having both cultures. He's, you know, having that Mexican-American background, of course, helping that he comes from, you know, Fernando Vargas' lineage. Abdullah Mason may have the most talent, you know, but time will tell as far as on the American side. But American boxing's in bad shape. And the biggest obstacle is, where are you going to watch them? Because there's no platform. You know, they don't promote American fighters, it seems like, which is mind-boggling. ESPN getting out of the boxing business.
It isn't just American boxing that's hurting, man. American tourism, nobody wants to come here. I mean, the Canadians don't come to Las Vegas anymore. The Canadians, who they used to call them snowbirds, I think, in Florida, when they go down there, live 3 or 4 months a year in Florida, they're not going to Florida. Of course, that was after the president said he was going to make Canada the 51st state. I mean, when you insult somebody's sovereignty like that, people are going to get pissed off. And guess what? Las Vegas is feeling the heat. Miami's feeling the heat. All these tourist spots are feeling heat. I mean, it's just like, and the last I checked, you know, I buy steak at Whole Foods, and in the last month and a half, the steak has went from $21 to $28 a pound.
Yes, I believe it, man. Listen, everything's expensive. It's just
well, wait
inflation.
A second. I hate to shift the politics and government in this thing, but one of the guarantees that Mr. Trump said was that, you know, prices were going to be cut and this and that, and life was going to be good here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Life is not. I mean, they cut a lot of the social programs and Social Security and Medicare and things like that. They gutted those programs. The people that were going to suffer the most from those programs are mostly people that voted for this guy. How do you explain that?
I mean, you know, P.T. Barnum said a sucker's born every minute.
Come up with a better one than that, please. Come on. You gotta go.
I mean, it's, you know, look, his buddies have made good money, though, right? The billionaires that he deals with. He also said that he would end all these wars that we're in. And I still hear bullets flying in Ukraine and definitely the genocide in Israel, you know, that Israel is causing in Gaza. So, I mean, it's anyone that believes a politician is a sucker. That's all I can say.
I don't, you know, there were certain guys that there were a few guys, a few select guys that I thought that you could believe in. But I think that whole movement.
And they kill them.
And I was just about to bring it up. I mean, it's not a coincidence. Bobby and John Kennedy were both killed by assassin's bullets. I don't think that was a coincidence at all. I think the U.S. government was played a part in the Kennedy assassination. The first one, I mean, holy cow, U.S. Army intelligence. They had a U.S. Army intelligence officer taking pictures in Dealey Plaza. Why would he be taking pictures in Dealey? What was he doing there? Why would an Army intelligence guy be there? They didn't need him there. He took a picture of the bus that Oswald was on. Nobody knew that Oswald was on that bus except Oswald. But yet this guy took a picture of it. So anyway, the government was deep in that. And if you look at the films, like the Zapruder film, all that stuff has been altered and fixed and this and that. And I'll never forget with the lady closest to the president, Jean Hill, she was the closest to the president when the shots rang out. And she said the car came to a stop. And everybody that I talked to that was there alive said the car came to a stop or momentarily stopped. And you don't see it in the film because the film's been altered. I hate to go off on a rant like that. I'm sorry.
Hey, there's no other way to go at it. You know, if your blood doesn't start boiling when you start talking about that, then you're not human. So,
okay,
no need to apologize.
Let's talk about the monster, No Inouye. Of course, they impressively defeated the an ex-Olympic bronze medalist. I got problems with these names here. Muradon, let's call him Muradon Akhmedov. Of course, 14-2, 11 KOs down. A unanimous nod across the board. Scores 118-110. and was it 117, 111, 118, 110 twice. That's 10 to 2 in rounds. They thought this guy could fight a little bit, and the guy from Russia, but obviously Inouye is still a 32. Didn't score the knockout he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that's what you're going to get as he goes up in weight. I mean, at 126 pounds, probably will be his limit because these guys are coming down in weight. And
he's not
going
to make it to
one.
No, no, no. I think you're missing the boat here, Boxing's PhD. I don't mm-hmm. think he's going to make it to 126 mm-hmm. pounds. I don't think so. I think that Junto Nakatani's got a good shot of beating him.
I mean, if they want to make that fight, because then you're going to be sacrificing one of your cash cows. Mm. And yes, that's a mega fight. It is Nakatani. Is a bad man.
That's the but that's the right now. That's the equivalent. That is the equivalent in Japan to Ali Frazier here. That is it. This is the mega fight of all mega fights. Never before in the history of the land of the sun where they've had two fighters ranked in the top 10. I can't remember when they had one fighter ranked in the top 10 pound for pound, let alone two, and two prominent guys in the top five.
It's a golden era in Japanese boxing, no doubt about it. And you know, I would love to see Nakatani and Bam Rodriguez. They're 3 pounds difference. Why can't that fight happen?
Because you're cutting short the fight that I want to go over to Japan and see. I want to see Nanoa Inoue and Junto Nakatani fight in like the Tokyo Dome or something like that, and stay next door in that hotel where we stayed back in what year was that? Oh God, I can't remember when the last time I was in Japan. But the bottom line is, we had a great time in Japan. I slept through the award. I was supposed to get an award from the WBC, and I slept through the award ceremony.
Are you still like jet lag?
And I didn't get the award either. Lifetime achievement award. Never got it. Suleiman said he took it back. He lost it. Took it back to Mexico and lost it. And that was the end of that. But the bottom line is, Japan was really good. You know what I noticed most about Japan is that it was quiet. I mean, you walk down the street, you could hear a mouse fart from a 50 feet away. I mean, that's just how quiet it was. And I couldn't figure it out. My mind was blown, Sock, why it was so quiet. And then I realized nobody's honking horns. Nobody's yelling, MF, get out the way. I mean, it's just, it's a totally different world.
It is a different world, and you just watch a fight, it's very quiet. It's like, you would confuse it like you're watching opera, it's like people clap respectfully when it's over and it's a different world.
I saw a fight at Korakuen Hall one time. This is a little tiny hall next to the Tokyo Dome. Little tiny place, maybe holds 2,500, 3,000 people max. I watched the Japanese fans, and they were very quiet most of the time, and they were appreciative at the end and at the beginning. And of course, they would clap at the end of each round, this and that. But they listen. The boxing is so deep in Japan. It's so indoctrinated into the culture, and it's unbelievable. I can't think of another. I think it's deeper in Japan than it is in Mexico.
That's interesting. Listen, boxing does have a rich history in Japan. And it's actually, I said golden era in Japanese boxing. It might be the golden era in Japanese sports. I mean, they have the number one baseball player in the world in Ohtani.
Who would have thought that 25 years ago that a Japanese guy would come over and become the most dominant player in baseball? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know you're not a drinker. If you go to any liquor store, the most expensive whiskey is coming from Japan. I mean, they still make the best, most reliable cars. It's pretty good to be from the land of the rising sun.
That's pretty sad because I've had a Honda for the past quarter century, and knock on wood, but I've never had a Honda break down on me ever in 25 or 30 years.
It's they're built to last. Toyota, Honda, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm gonna go into a little rant after the next break, and we will set you off. But Floyd Mayweather is not paying his bills. Are you surprised?
Am I surprised? No. The same. Listen, he's wow. I don't want to say something offensive, but he's a clown, man. He really is. He's like a menstrual show. He's just.
Oh no,
Bozo.
No! The clown show of all time has to be Jake Paul and Gervonta Tank. Davis. I mean, holy cow! How did Jake Paul become such a major force in the world, let alone the world of boxing? How did he do that?
Well, a few minutes ago, you were asking me about American boxing. That is clearly the most well-known American boxer is Jake Paul. There you go.
But you know what? And I'm not knocking Mr. Yeah, I guess I am knocking Mr. Ball. But I think he would have a hard time beating me pound for pound in the Golden Gloves. I just think he would.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. But, you know, he's tapped into a fan base that is just, you know, it's there. The one thing I'll give Jake Paul credit for? The one thing. He's active. Shakur Stevenson. I forgot him. He's probably the best American fighter. He's fighting twice a year. Come on. How do you do that? He's been a twice-a-year fighter for the last 4 or 5 years, as opposed to someone like Inoue, who fought 3 times this past year. Name recognition, seeing you on TV on a consistent basis matters. Activity matters. Jake Paul is more active than Shakur Stevenson.
Okay. Doesn't look like there's any big fights on the horizon until November 22nd, the day that Kennedy got whacked. With David Benavidez and Anthony Yardy, what's going on? Is sport dead for 3 months or what?
Yeah, it's pretty much. I mean, you have a couple of decent fights. You have a decent fight tonight. Well, I don't know if it's a fight more than a showcase. The Puerto Rican fighter that fights in the lower weight classes.
Posada.
Yes, he's fighting. Virgil Ortiz and Erickson Lubin is one that I'm kind of interested in. You have the rematch of Eubank Jr. happening and Ben November 15th, which is a great fight. So it's, you know, we're forced to settle for crumbs.
Straight up, boxing's PhD putting it on the line, Socrates Palmer Jr. Young man, have a good week. Hug the family. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you for having me on, my brother. Thank you.
This is Ring Talk live worldwide via Sports Byline.
This time tomorrow I'll be on the road, so I got to get on the telephone.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997, 800-659-7997, 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time.
800-256-4816, 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Well, I might go down in history as being the highest publicized fighter in the history of the fight game. The most talked about, the most, I would say, probably controversial, the most loved, the most hated.
You got that right. The most loved and yet the most hated. I remember when black women, white women would show up at his fights and call him all kinds of names and sit in the crowd and hope that he would lose. Talk about the old racist back in the 1960s, but that was back then. The world's changed, hasn't it? Yeah. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, one of our featured fighters, Kingsley Ibe, the heavyweight from Nigeria originally, now living in Arizona. He's going to be taking on Gerald Washington down in El Salvador, San Salvador, for the vacant WBC FIGCAR heavyweight championship. In other words, a 10-round fight for some belt. But the bottom line is Kingsley looking to move on. Oh, let's talk about this. Floyd Mayweather. I mentioned him a little bit earlier. Well, TMZ broke the story. I'm talking about Floyd Mayweather being 48 years old now. Filed suit against Vegas Auto Gallery on Thursday in Nevada, claiming the luxury dealership of shady business practices surrounding the sale of a rare 2018 Mercedes-Benz. Straight up, doesn't sound good for Floyd. Long story short, Floyd doesn't believe he should have to pay for the vehicle, and he wants to return it. In other words, he still has it. While the dealership said, no, you can't do that, and they aren't mincing their words. Here's what the dealership had to say about my boy Floyd Mayweather. In June 2025, Floyd Mayweather signed a confession of judgment admitting to a court of law that he personally owes $1.2 million. Last week, he blew a settlement to finally pay. When he begged for an extension, we granted it. He still didn't pay. Well, that's the attorney for the Vegas Auto Gallery, folks. Quote, his lawsuit, following a suit against the Vegas Auto Gallery, did Floyd Mayweather on Thursday. His lawsuit is laughable and dead on arrival. And my allegations about the condition of the car he willingly purchased, personally signed for, and then showed off on social media are just a pathetic attempt to spin things. Straight up, the attorney continued, you don't go sign papers admitting that you owe debt, blow the deadlines of pay, and then pretend the money is disputed. It isn't. The receipts exist. His signature is on them. Quote, get this. They're not done with Floyd. No money Mayweather doesn't get to stiff small businesses and then smear them for asking to be paid. Contracts matter. Contracts matter whether you're 50-0 or 0-50. Of course, the auto gallery has taken the battle of court, confession of a judgment. He's got that. It was signed document July 4th by Floyd Mayweather, of course, and he did agree to pay the $1.25 million. Why he hasn't is because he's broke. And I'm telling you, he's broke. He got hit up with a real estate scam. I guess it was a couple of years ago. And then he tried to rebound from the real estate scam and dropped his money, supposedly, allegedly, into cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, that kind of good stuff. Well, that went south on him. Allegedly, if he can't pay this one point, he agreed to pay this bill a couple of months ago. And in a couple of months, he couldn't come up with $1 million. I mean, you wouldn't push the apple just a little bit further down the road and eat it later. The bottom line is, Floyd knew at that point in time he didn't have the money. He was trying to buy it for time. He got himself some time. It wasn't enough. I think that Floyd Mayweather is broke. No doubt about that. Now, arrested this week was the son of former UFC light heavyweight champion. Talk about Rampage Jackson, Quentin Rampage Jackson. Of course, his son, Raja Jackson, was arrested Thursday morning in San Bernardino, California, I believe, on a felony charge of battery with serious bodily injury. You can see, he's being led away in handcuffs. I saw some of the films anyway. Bottom line is, arrest took place about 9 a.m., Huntington Beach, California, after officers issued an arrest warrant. The son of the UFC legend, Rampage Jackson, Roger, can be seen in the clip being escorted away by two police officers wearing a jacket and pants. Jackson wasn't happy at all. At one point, he appeared to question why a bystander was, why are you filming this? Well, because, you know, you're in it. You know, I don't leave it at that. Anyway, Roger was ultimately transported 50 miles north and booked in Pacoima. He was held for several hours and $50,000 bail and was bailed out during the middle of the night. The arrest stems from a violent run-in he had with Psycho Stu. Of course, Psycho Stu was a professional wrestler. It was at Knox Pro Wrestling in L.A. That was an event, of course, August the 23rd. Roger and the wrestler got into some pre-show confrontation, and when it came time for Rampage's son to get his revenge in the ring, he took things way, 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 way too far. He slammed Stu, real name Stuart Smith, to the mat on his head, knocking him out cold. Raja then hit him like with 25 unanswered punches. The guy was unconscious. I mean, what a chicken spit move. And when I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. Smith ended up spending several days in the hospital after the attack, which reportedly involved a brain injury. Smith is now back at home recovering. Rampage Jackson, the ex-UFC light heavyweight champion, he feels his son should go to jail. Rampage said his son mucked up with an F. this is one to keep an eye on. And lastly, from the news desk, I want to mention the fact that Tom Gerbazi, 10 count for Tom. Of course, Tom was a boxing journalist. I remember back in the days when I was writing for Flash and Boxing Update magazines and things like that. And when I broke in, we broke in some of these internet websites. But Tom Gerbazi was a good guy. He passed away this week at the age of 57. I mean, he was a mixed martial arts and boxing journalist slash author. And of course, for him to pass away at 57 was a bit of a shock. He's covered sports for the sport, I think, for the last 25 or 30 years, although this bio said it was only 15. I think he's written in Ring Magazine, BoxingScene.com, ESPN, Yahoo Sports, was the Daily Beast, right on the Daily Beast. Anyway, of course, he was currently the senior editor at BoxingScene.com, the editorial director for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So Tommy is deep into everything. Of course, Gerbazi is the author of several books as well on combat sports, boxing, the 100 greatest fighters. He's also written UFC, A Visual History, of course, the UFC Encyclopedia, and then The Sweeter Science, a look at women's boxing. He was inducted to the Women's Hall of Boxing Hall of Fame in 2022. More power to him. And of course, may he rest in peace. Straight up, a good guy. He wasn't controversial like me. I mean, not everybody is, but he wasn't controversial like me, and he sort of was able to walk in between a lot of stuff. He was able to write what he wanted, but he didn't write it with the he was eloquent. I'm brutal. There's a difference. I mean, I could be eloquent. I could be eloquently brutal in writing, but for the most part, I was brutal. I mean, Poison Pen Pedro is not going to write. He's not going to be writing condolences too much. You know what I'm saying? Not in boxing columns. But the bottom line is, I was rough. And, you know, Tom wasn't rough, and Tom did real well, and he's done well. Of course, we wish him the very best. Of course, he was married to a younger lady. We wish him the very best of luck as far as his future is concerned. Now, let's check out some of the stuff here that Frank 1961 sent me. On September 28th, 1979, Sugar Ray Leonard and Andy the Hawk Price hooked up at Las Vegas, the Caesars Palace, the indoor sport pavilion. Of course, the greatest arena in the history of boxing. No doubt about that. Now, Marvin Gaye. Remember Marvin Gaye? Let's get it on. Marvin Gaye, what's going on? Marvin Gaye, sexual healing. Marvin Gaye, that kind of good stuff. Marvin Gaye, you know, Marvin Gaye, the guy that got shot to death by his father because he was high on PCP, and he was slapping his father around. His father said, "You do that again, I'm going to kill you." He did it again. He killed him. Bottom line is, Marvin Gaye was managing Andy Price. Andy Price was they used to call him the uncrowned champion. I think he held wins over Carlos Palomino and Pepino Cuevas. He held a couple of wins over some really prominent guys. So he was called the uncrowned champ, per se. Well, guess what? The uncrowned champ didn't last but about a minute and a half. And to injury to insult, Marvin Gaye, his manager, bet all kinds of money. I was told it was 25 grand. And then somebody told me it was 50 grand. So it was either 50 or 25 grand. That's a lot of money back in 1979. But Marvin Gaye, Mr. Trouble Man, of course, he bet 25 or 50 grand on Andy Price, and Andy Price got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. I mean, Ray Leonard should have been arrested. He should have been arrested for domestic violence. That beating was so bad. I mean, good Lord. I mean, boom, boom, boom. I mean, Price was supposed to be this, not a boxing guy per se, but he was supposed to be this really formidable force at 147 pounds. I mean, Ray Leonard was going to finally get tested. Yeah, not tonight. Bottom line is, he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree, no doubt about that. Andy Price, of course. Marvin Gaye, may he rest in peace. He was shot to death. Marvin got hooked on PCP. I told you about Marvin's boxing past, right? Marvin wanted to be heavyweight, middleweight champion of the world, something like that, middleweight, heavyweight African. I think whatever division he was campaigning around, he wanted to be that world champion. Of course, he was in Detroit, where Motown Music was, Motown Studios, that kind of stuff, on West Granby Boulevard. That's where that's at. But he wanted the box. So, you know, he would smoke a little weed and go in the gym. Nothing wrong with smoking a little weed and going to the gym, but, you know, not if you want to be real serious about this. And no. So anyway, Marvin would go into the gym a little mellow, and he would work out and this, and then he looked good, and he did his sit-ups and did his push-ups and did his, you know, all that kind of good stuff, jump rope, looking smooth, this and that. Then he sparred one day, and this dude hit him with one punch, and Marvin went to sleep. Marvin went to sleep so long, you could have played Let's Get It On maybe four or five times, and Marvin would still be asleep. I mean, Marvin was snoring. It was like somebody hit him with a club. I kid you not. So Marvin realized right then and then his boxing future wasn't there. And the very next day, of course, he quit and went back to recording music full time. But Marvin Gaye had these envisions, the fantasy of becoming a professional boxer. Not only that, he was going to become, I'll never forget, I think it was world middleweight champion. I don't think it was heavyweight. I think it was world middleweight champion. Anyway, bottom line is, Price got off the canvas and hobbled back to the dressing room where at Caesar's Palace, of course, where he saw Marvin Gaye. And Marvin looked so bad, he said, Price said, "I think he was crying." "Yeah, well, you cry. You bet 25 grand on your guy and you lose like that." And Marvin probably didn't have all the money in the world back then, because Marvin, you know, Marvin Gaye didn't make the money he probably should. None of those guys make the money. I told you the Supremes had 5 number one records in a row. 5 number one records in a row for Motown Records, and they were making a salary of $500 a week. They were paying for their own transportation and their own dresses. I kid you not. So Berry Gordy, we've talked about pimps before. Berry Gordy, the man that ran Motown Records, a professional boxer back in the day. He was trained by the godfather, Eddie Futch, back in the 50s. Of course, he formed Motown Records, and he's still alive at the age of 95, approaching 96. But the bottom line is he signed contracts his contracts, Don King was supposed to sign one-sided contracts. That was the word, that Don King signed one-sided contracts. Well, guess what? Not like Berry Gordy. Berry Gordy signed the most one-sided contracts I've ever seen in my entire life. I kid you not. Straight up, it was, he wasn't good to the people he worked for. Of course, you know, I think Smokey Robinson stuck around, but everybody else left. Why? Because the money wasn't there at Motown. Of course, Motown music back in the 1960s was a big thing in Detroit. Of course, it put Detroit on the map. That and the car business, no doubt about that. Now, go back to today's boxing history. The Twitch picture is freezing. You should have told me that a long time ago. I'm sorry. But Michael Doakes versus Jerry Cosio. The Twitch picture's freezing, Daniel. Typical sports byline, huh? I mean, you know, I think I hate to throw that low blow at him, but that's just the way it is. I mean, this really pisses me off when I see stuff like that going on. So I apologize from the bottom of my heart. Anyway, Michael Doakes versus Jerry Cosio. The Buckeye Homecoming was a professional boxing match that took place September 23rd, 1983. Cosio, the man with a bionic right hand because it had been surgically put together so many times, stopped Doakes in the 10th round. Of course, Doakes got that title by beating who? Mike Weaver. That was controversial. Of course, the first fight I thought was a fix. A lot of people thought the fight was a fix when Joey Curtis stopped the fight about a minute and a half into the round, a minute and a half into the very first round. He stopped it. Mike Weaver was against ropes. Mike Weaver was a slow starter to begin with. I mean, he didn't start until a couple of rounds later. But the bottom line is Joey Curtis said he saw enough. He stopped the fight. And, of course, Joey Curtis was the same referee that was seen taking a picture at a post-fight party with Don King and Michael Doakes. So, anyway, then the Michael Doakes and Michael Doakes had a rematch. And, of course, the rematch with Mike Weaver, that was a draw. Then they were screwing Mike Weaver no matter what. Don King had those judges bought and paid for, in my opinion, bought and paid for, no doubt about that. Anyway, he knocks Stokes out and becomes the WB heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, this was when nobody wanted to fight anybody from South Africa because, you know, white people weren't. White people weren't treating black. Apartheid was in effect and things like that, and it wasn't too cool. But Cosio was never a racist guy. I mean, I met him. I worked with him. We did a couple of his fights. I think I did the television for 2 of his fights that he was promoting in Sacramento, California, Tony Lopez and some Brian Mitchell. That was from for the lightweight championship, I believe. That was from the Arco Arena in Sacramento. That went to South Africa straight up. And then we did a couple cards. No, we did at least 1 or 2 cards in the porn capital of the world. Now, Daniel probably knows where the porn capital of the world, Woodland Hills. Woodland, I think it's Woodland Hills. And that's what it's called down there. I may be wrong, but the bottom line is when I went to this fight, I was noticing that all these chicks in the front row had all these ugly breasts. Okay, I mean, they had breasts that were like freaky-looking breasts. You know what I'm saying? Like, good Lord. One lady had breasts that were like touching her chin. Okay, so I'm saying to myself, something's amiss here. Something's up. Anyway, they were all porn stars. Cosia told me later they were all porn stars. So evidently that was the truth as far as his being the... that area being the porn capital of the world. But straight up, chuckled about that, no doubt about that. Fun day. Hey, Jerry Cosio was a good guy to work for. He paid people. He never gave any lip, and his checks didn't bounce. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk. And I'm half
asleep. Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Bringing us back from the break, the average white band. I got to retire them. You know why they retired? That's why I retired last year. Of course, I did their second to last show. It was the Master of Ceremonies over there at Yoshi's in Oakland. And I wish, of course, the best, Alan Gorey and the crew, of course. And, of course, the lead singer was Brent Carter. Of course, he was formerly of Tower of Power, and now he is the lead singer of the Commodores. Of course, Lionel Richie is a tough act to follow, but if anybody can do it, Mr. Carter's kid could. No doubt about that. Now let's review that quick card last week, of course, talk about the main card. Terrence Crawford, a winner in 12 rounds over Canelo Alvarez, 115, 113, 115, 113, and 116, 112 as far as the scores were concerned. Sergey Bojacek lost to Brandon Adams. I think that was a rematch. Brandon now 25-4 with a unanimous decision in 10 rounds. Kristen Mubili and Lester Martinez. Lester Martinez from Guatemala. They've never had a world champion from Guatemala. This was like one of the great fights of the year thus far. There's no doubt about it. I mean, these guys threw punches. They really tried. They left. They didn't leave nothing. They went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for 10 rounds. It was a great fight, no doubt about that. And I call it the fight of the year, without a doubt. Of course, the scores were 95-95. Glenn Felma had it 95-95. Patricia Jarman had it 97-93, and one judge had it 96-94. There was a split decision. In other words, split decision draw. That's the way it went down. And I got to tell you, this is definitely an entertaining fight. I would love to see them do it again. And the fact that they fought 10 rounds was significant because if in a 12-round fight, guys are worried about going the 11th and 12th round. It's a psychological thing. There's just no doubt about it. Guys just like trip out. I got to go 12 rounds. But if they have to go 10 rounds, they can do that standing on their head psychologically, I think. Straight up, Callum Walsh was a winner over the Fernando Vargas. Of course, the son of the aforementioned junior middleweight champion of the world, Fernando Vargas. Of course, that was a 10-round decision. Good fight, no doubt about that. But not a good fight if you're Fernando Vargas. Scores were 99-91, 99-91, and 190. In other words, he never won a round, sort of predicted by Tommy D. No doubt about that. Steve Nelson was a loser to Raquel Santana. Of course, that was I don't know if that was an upset. It was a stoppage in the very first round. 12-4 with Santana. Steve Nelson came in at 21-1. 20-1. He got lit up like White House Christmas tree. I'm looking at some of the other names on the card. Not too many names per se, but the bottom line is it seemed to be a nice card. And I mean, it was good that the fact that it was on Netflix and people got to see that he may be the best fighter in a long time, and Terrence Crawford, you know, display his skills. And hopefully that will lead to other big fights, and not only on Netflix, but, you know, big fights, not including Jake Paul. Look, he's put together a nice hustle, no doubt about that. I mean, he has. I mean, the fact that he's able to con people into thinking he's a professional boxer, I mean, that's like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, it just is. I mean, as far as talent's concerned, his talent pool is like 2 or 3 inches of water. That's probably about it. I mean, he can stand in it. That's about it. He can't do much more. But they put the right guys in front of him, guys like Daniel Ogden and Gervonta Davis, guys like that. I mean, you keep putting these stiffs in front of him and these smaller guys, you know what's going to happen? He's going to continue to win, and the fraud continues. I mean, I think that old line that P.T. Barnum, and I sort of chided Socrates Palmer for it earlier in the show, but there's a sucker born every minute. I guess that really does apply. Just no doubt about it. I mean, as far as the UFC is concerned, of course, Dana White was part of that card last week, and Dana White wants to strip the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act, basically all of its authoritarian, the fact that it legislates and it can rule over things. It wants to take all the law out of the law, per se. They want to call it the Muhammad Ali Boxing Revival Act or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is Dana White is bad for boxing. We'll talk about that more on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up in 23 hours from now. That's right, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Sunday, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. I want to thank my watchers, on my people on Twitch. I'm talking about Frank1961 and, of course, Main Event Matt and the crew. And, of course, Daniel Ogden in the other room. His mom's doing good. His kids are doing good. Dad's happy. Straight up, this is Ring Talk, live worldwide.